Welcome to this week's Embrace the Hate. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Matt Nose.
I'm Richie Incognito Ingram.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Which teams did you get kicked off of?
All of them. Every single.
So much so that you can't even find you on a roster. You showed up, they kicked you out that day.
Every single NFL team told me straight out, you're not welcome here.
For what? What transgression in particular?
It was
blacklisted, yeah.
It was mostly bowling, but also heavy usage of narcotics and steroids.
It shows. It shows. Is that make finally the type 1 flare up and then full blown at that point?
I would only inject it directly into the nut bag. And so the steroid, the buildup, the muscle buildup is testicular and only.
What muscles do you have in your balls? You're just creating these super sperm and you just got to squeeze them out?
It looks like...
one or two at a time?
It looks like there's a pair of glutes in my nutsack. It's an impressive feat. Well,
you might want to have that looked at then. If you can just see that. What are you, passing by a mirror after a shower and you see this two dimples staring back at you?
I showed the doctor. He just said, we all dream. They say it shrinks your testicles, so I said, we'll see about that. And I work them out extra hard. Attach the weights to them, you know.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. It's Kirk Douglas, two chins. Just through the nutsack, just staring right back at you.
Old two chins Douglas. Who I believe is also a legendary Civil War hero.
Had to be.
Yeah.
Him, Stonewall Jackson, a whole bevy of individuals.
Which brings up, a lot of people are still asking, what's the deal with the Stonewall Jackson Five? It's a super group of child performers, only they're all white racists.
Don't worry, they're in Appalachia somewhere.
I've been building
Handling
this thing
snakes.
Up. I've been building this thing up for a long time, and they're gonna break probably 2022. That's the plan.
Well, tied in with 46. And they're, you know, doing his numbers before rallies. It's a beautiful marriage.
Who do we think 46 is going
to
be?
Well, if you listen to certain rallies, it's one junior in particular.
God, that's going to be beautiful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So then we'll have 12
Robert
years.
Downey?
Of course.
Yeah.
We'll have 12 years of this beauty.
And I mean, I'd like to say just keep it going.
Ivanka after that and then...
No, never Ivanka.
Who's the other one? Chad?
Eric. We get Eric. He's the
creepiest.
Really, yeah, I mean, he's by far the one who has the most extra chromosomes.
Well, he looks like he was made in a Petri dish. And then got shoved in. It's like these weird, that gum line does beautiful. Not look healthy.
He's a wonderful person. Very smart. Damien, what's the young one that I can't think of what his name is, but
Damien sounds about right.
Yeah.
Baron. I was going to say, yeah. No, it has more like a prince more of a type of feel to it.
I remember
he'll be eligible by that point.
No, I think he's probably like,
well, you gotta be
12
35
now or something.
So yeah, he's 20 some odd years away.
I liked when someone said, was using as an analogy that, you can name your kid Baron, but you can't make your kid a Baron. And then everyone was like, you leave Trump's son alone. This is a liberal bully. It was like, they didn't.
Yeah, but at the same time, how good a burn is that? Like, why are you getting, it's the most obvious thing you could choose to say.
I just like the people who always claim everyone else is snowflakes. Gets so fucking pissy anytime you say anything about any of the T-Rumps.
It's a fucking blizzard on both sides of snowflakes.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. They eventually you hit an issue and they're like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Even the people I agree with, sometimes you see, you know, they're almost coming to tears and just foaming at the mouth. And you're like, it's important, but dear God.
Man, I got on Twitter this morning and I was just immediately enraged with how fucking dumb people are. All the Bernie bros are out. Bernie bros are livid. It's all a conspiracy. It's all a setup. I can't deal with it.
Yeah, but Biden's always more appealed to...
to everyone
centrist.
On the planet?
To a centrist.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that people who are extremely liberal, like far left, still don't understand that everyone is not as progressive as them.
True, but I would say radical. Anybody that's that far on either side, they're a radical of their side.
Yeah, but if you're a radical, you should understand that...
Okay, oh, now you're trying to apply logic to a radical?
Yeah, I am.
You should
be able to observe your surroundings or speak to somebody outside of your immediate circle of friends.
I don't think you've met a radical of anything in person.
I hope I haven't. I mean, I'm seeing some of them on Twitter that I'm like, I'm glad I never spoke to that person on...
You did meet, at least potentially, the most radical Spread fan.
Dude.
He eventually became the drummer.
Dude. The Spread, dude. Dude, I just saw this.
To whoever made the caricature of us, you could easily be saying that. You know what? I screen capped it. I can find your name, give you a shout out.
He was probably the drummer from Spread, and that's why he made us look retarded.
Well, I mean... If that's what I do look like on a day-to-day basis, I'll give you my gun, and you can just go ahead and take your shot. It's 12-ounce at 12-ounce epilogue.
Yeah.
Said he starts his morning coffee with us.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And one, we always pose like that.
Always. So did he find, the two of us doing this?
Found a couple pics of us just buddying up, playing, we just got done with a little bit of grab ass.
I don't know I've ever done the thumbs up. You know one that drives me nuts that certain people like to their go-to? When they do the point at the other person.
Yeah.
I hate that.
You're not a fan?
When they do it in every... It's the equivalent of when you see those... you ever seen like a 30 seconds of somebody has girl's pictures and she takes the same face, like the same pose in every picture?
Yeah.
So it just keeps changing and changing.
It's usually the...
Yeah, but always in the certain angle the face is directed at. It's the equivalent of that.
Coronavirus.
It does the point.
Yeah.
It's coming. Don't you worry.
I try and get the point in never, but I get really upset if people who ask for my photo don't point at me. You know what I mean? If you're going to ask for a photo, have the decency to at least give me the point so we know I'm the focus.
Well, act like I'm the big deal that I know that I am.
Exactly right.
Spoken like a true individual of Southern California.
That's what it's all about, man. It's about just letting people know you're better than they are, and that they better spread the word.
What other snowflake shit did you see? The Bernie bros, for sure.
The Bernie thing, it was just so much bullshit about the Dems rigging the contest, whatever. It's like, you thought Bernie was going to sweep Alabama? You thought people in Alabama were going to be like, yeah, I'm in for a radical progressive movement.
Exactly, as opposed to a centrist.
Yeah, to where they're just like, hey, you know that Biden guy? Like 5 months ago, he said he could work with racists. I kind of like that guy. That's someone I think I can work with in that case.
I look at it, so what, Bloomberg dropped out?
Yep.
After spending how much money? Him and Steyer, but he spent even more.
Bloomberg spent between $170 and $550 million.
Perfect. That's a nice, the margin of error on that is really slim.
Yeah. I looked at him like, well, that seems weird, but
it's either a single amount or three times that amount.
I think they said he spent $150 on TV ads, and then the rest of it they were estimating due to cost of opening offices and some ridiculous amount of cities. I just, like, the way I think about it is he realistically had no chance. I mean, he was hoping to slide in and steal Biden's thunder. And then Elizabeth Warren basically just ruined him in the very first.
Yeah, flat out in that first debate. Well, I mean, everybody piled on and he didn't stand up for himself.
He just stood there, and was just like, yep, okay, got me. He got me there.
Well, if you have no rebuttals for this.
Yeah. But then... I mean, you're dropping, let's say, $250 million. I mean, just spread that around.
Oh, do the yang? Just give everybody
Send out some checks. You know, he had to know. Maybe he's so delusional. He thought, I'm going to do this. I'm gonna jump into the game so late that I don't even make it around for the first couple contests. But I'm going to be so likable because my past is just squeaky clean.
It's definitely. Sterling.
Definitely no, Donald Sterling. Just what a fucking idiot. At the minimum, build yourself a money bin somewhere so you can swim around like Scrooge McDuck.
The only thing where I do feel like he would have been good, had he managed to stay around long enough, he can attack Trump where it actually hurts Trump. So you can't attack him on issues. You can't attack him on things that he's going to need to do.
Because he stands for nothing.
Exactly. So you attack him on the petty insider New York elitist stuff.
I saw some of that stuff.
So did I. And I was like, dude, if you broke that out more, like made fun of his spray tan, oh, you probably go to Jersey for that spray tan.
Yeah, he cheats at golf.
Exactly.
All the stuff. Would infuriate Don.
The one that he sent was like, listen, we've been in the same circles in New York for a long time, and everybody laughs at you when you leave the room. He took that to bed with him. He was pissed about that. That's the type of insult that will genuinely pierce that thick hide.
Yeah, he likely slapped his mushroom all over Melania's face that evening, calling her Bloomberg.
Just a little button.
It's just
a tiny little button.
Little toadstool. Right. So it's very aggressive. It almost looks like he's trying to suffocate her with his, what I assume to be, orange ball sack.
Oh, so he spray tans that as well?
It's definitely spray tans the
just
nuts.
The eyes. That's the only thing covered in this thing. Goes in, just covers the eyes, just arms out.
Everything else, good to go.
Well, it's like you remember the front of the beginning of Quantum Leap, and he stands over that air jet, and it just blows like fucking smoke and air and whatnot. It's just that spray tan. It just gets blasted.
It actually asks for a second round on the nuts just to make sure that.
Well, he bends over and opens up his asshole
smart
to get under that taint.
Go ahead and paint the fruit basket one more time. Get that cornucopia nice and orange.
It's a cornucopia hemorrhoids. Enjoy. Oh, my God. It's amazing, though, at some level, given his diet, at least what we've seen him eat, that he's managed to live this long. Because it doesn't seem to get all that much activity outside of playing golf every once in a game, which is fine. He's an old man, 70 in his
70s. Yeah, he plays golf, 8 to 9 times a week, I think. And he's on the Magic Johnson diet. Dudes are just eating cash. Straight cash.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that AIDS in a long, long time.
It has been great for him. No one benefited more from AIDS than Magic.
You think it's like a mutated, mutated him, gave him a special business gene, and he just crushed the business world.
Yep, he got AIDS and immediately got in on the ground floor at Fat Burger, and then
plus 24-hour fitness. So you're getting it from both sides.
I mean, that's a recipe. You're just creating your own
client base.
Yeah, it's smart.
It is smart. You're feeding the addiction on both sides.
Movie theaters in bad parts of town,
which I think they're still called Magic Cinemas. But they're owned by another company at this point. He sold them off. He owns a bunch of Starbucks.
What a loser.
And then what, a small interest in the Dodgers?
Yeah, he's got a small stake.
It's more than likely one of those 1% type of things.
We just need a face to the franchise.
We'll reward you with.
Although I don't know if he might have given it up when he started working at
for the Lakers. I don't think it's a conflict. Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But yeah, no, I couldn't tell you the last time I heard anybody mention it with his name, him discuss it. It's been forever. It's been, I don't know, minimum decade. It's a decade and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, dude's crushing it. He's probably out there slanging dick still, you know?
Did you try and come up with a better word than dick? And then ultimately you're like, nah, you know what? I already used my toadstool.
I was going to say slanging puss. And then I'm like, wait, but he's crushing puss. He's not slanging it, so. Slanging that D.
Well, maybe he's slanging the puss to get some puss, you know? Pimping out others to get a little more puss for himself.
A real secret to a true empire. Yeah. Once you're selling sex, that's when the big bucks start rolling in, as they say.
Maybe that's what this show needs to morph into, you know?
Human trafficking.
Uh-huh. Open cattle call.
It'd be cool if we had, you know, at least a human trafficking podcast for human traffickers to listen to. There's a demographic that allegedly is rising in this country.
I can't wait to see who wants to advertise on that show.
That's smart.
Yeah, there's going to be so few, so you could command top dollar.
Gary's Coyote Company. Get him across the border with Gary.
You need body bags in under 24 hours delivered in the middle of the desert? Get auto body bag delivery service.
God. I mean, this thing is going to make us a lot of money.
Well, you got the snakehead for the Chinese market.
Smart.
I'm sure there's other versions, whatever the Eastern European back in the day was.
Oh, just disgusting. Eastern Europeans in general, we're not allowing them anywhere near here unless they're selling guns.
And then you're okay.
I'm very interested in someone who's, you know, putting former Soviet arsenals out there for the public.
Well, at this point, though, unless that technology is updated, it's really not as valuable as it once was.
People are into the classics.
On some level, yes. A Kalashnikov is still a good, you know, gun. I'm sure the 1970s, the one they may still have sitting around, work just fine once you oil them up and, you know, put it through its paces.
There's a lot of people out there saying, get me an AK-AK, you know, surface-to-air machine gun, because there's these drones out there.
Oh, all guns are surface-to-air. You can fire those wherever you want to. You're saying these bullets can somehow track?
These bullets are far superior to the modern-day bullets that these losers are using now.
But it was invented Soviet technology, so it's minimum 30 years old.
We're talking probably mid-80s was when these were, you know, put out there. And you can ask anyone in Georgia, anyone in Belarus, still top of the line.
Good for you. Good for you. You pulled two. You don't want to go like Crimea, you know, the one that's been a hotbed?
Dude, that's Ukraine/Russia. Anyone could have guessed that one.
Well, you know what? I think anybody in Crimea would say, no slash Russia. We are not slash Russia. It's not happening.
I used to have this Ukrainian dude who lived in my building, and I was always trying to talk to him because, you know, he was interesting. He talked a lot of shit about the Russian drug addict that lived in my building. And I always enjoy a good conflict between people based on nationality. And so I go, so what's the deal? Everyone just hates Putin? He goes, nobody hates Putin. And I go, it seems like Ukraine would be at odds with Putin. He was like, Ukraine, Russia, it's all Russia. We all grew up, it was one country. We don't care.
Well, to him, sure.
Oh, all right.
He's not there anymore.
Yeah. I mean, he made it over here in the 80s. He told me all about living the dream. Came over here for an engineering convention, never left.
Good for him. Got the visa.
Yeah.
And managed to come over and do it.
It served a purpose. And I come to America, you know, I am living dream. I am here for 2 years, and now I'm driving Maserati. I'm driving down Ventura Boulevard. All of the women are thinking, oh, look, who's this babe in Maserati? I'm like, that is the dream, man.
Hell yeah.
You fucking figured that shit out, dude.
What did he do exactly? I mean, he was here as an engineer, so what kind? Because now he's talking about specific, like, rarefied air making money.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I never got that far. I was so mesmerized by the image of a nice Ukrainian man with a solid mustache, basically looked like every miner from that Chernobyl miniseries.
Sure.
He told me his hair was flowing. I'm looking at it, it's like you're nearly bald. And
these were the glory days.
These were the 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the status in his mind of having a Maserati was also so 1980s. I was just like, God, that would have been sweet. Scorpions or something blaring on the radio.
Yeah, but it's also the difference of, you know, we know somebody in the showed up one day to the store and he's like, yeah, I'm driving a Beamer. And it was a hand-me-down Beamer from another person that we know, and they had bought it used. You're like, okay, well, you can say that. Coming to you like, ah, yeah, I got a new Beamer. New to you.
Yeah.
So he's got a new Maserati. This could have been a fourth hand. I'm not, you know.
Could have been.
Could have, yeah.
Who knows?
But at the same time, still a Maserati, if that is to be, you know, believed.
And the way he was describing it was 100%. It was just so much better than the not Maserati I drove in the Soviet Union, which has got to be the case.
Yeah, that's true.
But then I also know, like, Yakov, he was the man. He comes over here, like Dice, all these people are telling me stories about how they lived in Crest Hill. Mm-hmm. They all had, like, they each had, like, one room. And most of them didn't have cars. And so Yakov was always parking his Rolls Royce and his...
up there while he'd, after he'd made it?
No, he hadn't made it yet. But part of Yakov's game that he was running before he got famous was he would fly to Europe...
Yeah.
Buy cars at a fairly discounted rate
ship it all the way back
ship
here?
Ship it all the way back to America and then sell them here.
And there was enough money in it to make it worthwhile?
To make it worth it to him.
Wow.
And then he went to go do it the last time, and they were like, you're leaving too much. If you leave again, you're not going to be allowed back in. And so that was the end of his car scheme.
Yeah, well.
But then for a while, I guess he had a Rolls in a Mercedes of some sort, and, you know, he was making
$400. He's a handyman at the store.
Yeah, $400 a month or something.
He's living in a flop house. I mean, in an amazing location, but a flop house nonetheless. Yeah. I mean, just people partying nonstop every night.
Finger banging happening everywhere.
Oh, round a corner.
House of finger bang.
And the 70s or 80s chuckle fucker that everybody knows is just right there.
Lucky.
Legs spread wide while who knows what is happening.
I don't even think they needed someone there. They were probably finger banging anything they could find.
I believe that.
Walls, rodents. If there was something to finger, they were blasting it.
That's a motto we should all live by. I mean, you want to put that face from the picture on a t-shirt right there and just there's your catchphrase? I think we sell thousands.
Yeah, I mean,
day one.
Do we have merch yet? Because I feel like...
Not yet, but we could set up a shop. Not a problem.
I think if you put your finger on it, you can blast it. It's probably going to be a top seller.
Now I'm thinking of like a Old and Living Color kind of sketch. And like, hold on, let me see if I can just put my finger on this blast.
God damn, I didn't even see it as a hilarious black sketch comedy.
Yes.
But this excels itself.
Well, it can go so many different ways. There's the obvious that everybody's going to read into it, but this could be so much more. Why limit yourself? And could be a number one hit for the Stonewall Jackson 5.
God, that's true.
So it all ties together. You've already put it in the zeitgeist. Boom, they make a song, take it to the next level.
Finger blasting across the USA.
Is that the name of the tour?
That's the name of the song. I mean, the hit single.
Well, yeah, but now I'm thinking like a Beach Boys song. He's finger blasting today.
One of the best Beach Boys impressionists out there.
Thank you. Thank you. I work on that at home. I sit around. Don't you worry. I can start taping those today.
Finger blasting, boop, 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 a doo.
It worked,
like,
didn't it?
It was like, is he singing? Yeah, he's singing. All right. Beach Boys.
You know, honestly, how proud were you of the boop, boop, a doo, though?
That part sold it. That was the part that let me know that you...
And
you
honestly, that is in essence, one time we were sitting around. So we used to, when I lived in San Diego, we just go to my place afterwards because I was the only one that had...
Who's we? You and the crew?
Yeah, me, okay. Robert, Joe, buddy Chris, Tim Palmer, if you ever met him, and then a few other people kind of populate in and out. You just go have some beers and whatnot. One night we're just doing bad impression off. And my Dennis Miller is just beep bop a dopo.
That's pretty good though.
You can boil down the essence, like everything is like beep bop a dopo.
Yeah.
Like that's it. That's all I got. Couldn't do a joke because it's an esoteric reference.
Yep.
That's like Charlemagne at the ba ba ba.
Yeah, I always just think, I can't remember whose impression it was. It was the him doing Monday Night Football. Haven't seen a battle this tough since the War of the Roses, babe. Just like the Monday Night Football crowd being like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I liked it in concept, but I knew it was never going to work.
Yeah.
Or he's going to have to tone down his references.
Yeah.
Because, his hardest punchlines, the one he's going to be proudest of himself, are just going to lie flat.
Yeah, well, and even the other announcer is going to be like, what the fuck is Dennis talking about?
You might be able to get one of the two at that time because it was still a three-man weave. You see that Romo's getting 17 mil?
I just read the article that said it's actually more than 17 million, but it's a...
What, with incentives?
Yeah.
Like what?
I didn't say what it was.
And if the ratings go up X?
Nor did they say what it would go up to, but they're just saying that the... Now the report is that it's actually for more money than $17 million a year. And then there's a bunch of football players just tweet, we got to hold out now. We can't have our announcers making more money than us.
Yeah.
Like, well, the dude is solid in the booth.
He's the best.
Like watching him a game with him. And I never enjoyed the Dallas Cowboys, so... I'm like a Cowboys guy who's just like, well, he played for the Cowboys. He's got to be good.
No, nobody is outside of Cowboys fans.
But Watching, like, he's the only announcer I've ever watched say this is what should happen and then have it happen exactly that way multiple times in the game.
We specifically go, well, watch the defender right here because this looks like a blitz package that's been disguised.
Yeah.
And then you just see that guy fire right in. You're like, man, there was a certain point where he called 4 or 5 straight plays. It's like, all right, well, in this setup, they're more than likely going to do this. This
guy's just reading defenses.
Yeah.
And with that ability, you'd think he would have been better at quarterbacking.
Perhaps it's much easier to see it from that vantage point.
Then he should have quarterbacked from the booth. Something to think about. Problem solved.
Oh, that's the follow-up t-shirt. Not as successful. Not as, you know. Booth quarterback.
Quarterbacking from the booth. That's our sports podcast that we start.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty close to Monday morning quarterback. So
that's a podcast?
No, it was an old column by, was it Peter King, I think?
No idea.
I didn't read it either. I just knew it existed. It was in SI or something. I didn't get SI.
He was the guy. So he basically just, this is what happened and here's how it should have happened. Armchair quarterback kind of
thing, diagnosing problems and then forecasting outward, just talking about the games that were. But once again, never read it. I just know it exists.
Yeah,
because he would pop up on ESPN every once again. So you're like, all right, well, that means
he's legit.
Yeah, well, in that he has the respect of everybody, so he'd be one of the few print journalists that would make the leap up.
Nothing sadder than print journalists trying to get on TV.
Well, there's just a.
I think we can all agree there.
There's so much coverage now. There's so many people that are just talking heads on TV that I don't watch any of it, thankfully, because it's mind-numbing. It's the same shit. It doesn't matter what it is, politics, sports.
Yeah.
You got 24 hours to fill. You can only talk about these things so much.
Yeah, I mean, all of it's so full of shit now. It's nearly impossible to just get information. It's always 20 people sharing their personal opinion on the same subject.
And that personal opinion is... Sometimes intentionally, you can tell it's just wildly flagrant.
Yeah.
To spark debate. When they take a stance and you're like, you're too intelligent. This is indefensible. This is just dumb.
I was watching the KU, I think I was watching a KU game on ESPN a few nights ago, or last week maybe. And afterwards, it was SportsCenter or whatever it was. And it was three dudes discussing Tom Brady's future. And they spent 20 minutes discussing what they personally think would be a best case scenario for Tom and best case scenario for different teams.
Well, for the Patriots.
And none of them had any sort of actual insight.
Of course not.
It was just, it'd be essentially just me being like, best scenario for the Chargers would be they sign Tom Brady and then they win the Super Bowl. Yeah. It seems like there's some steps missing.
No, that's all you need. You need a 43-year-old quarterback coming in on your team that doesn't seem to be able to protect the quarterback all that well.
Don't worry about that. They just made a trade for – nope, that was the other LA team, I think.
I haven't paid attention to the offseason move. I've just been full NBA. The best fucking sport in the goddamn world. You should get on board.
WNBA.
If I knew when they played, I would watch. Probably not.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
You remember the old SNL skit where they're watching women's basketball? It's like, I think it was Ray Romano as the host.
Oh, yeah, kind of vaguely. Yeah.
Every day I wake up and I'm the luckiest man alive because I get to watch women's college basketball. We'll be right back. And then can you turn it over to the men's game?
there's certain, you know, what's like, I prefer women's tennis. I think it's way better.
I mean, women's tennis and men's tennis, both big zeros on the...
Oh, I like it. When the two competitors can actually, they match up well, it's engaging to watch. But on the men's side, if one dude is superior, it's just ace, fault.
I legit have no idea how to even score tennis match. I wouldn't know anything about it.
I would say, do you want to know? But I know the answer is no.
Yeah, I don't know what numbers they're trying to get to. It's
15, 30, 40 for some reason. And why they chose 15, 30, 40, I don't know.
Yeah, makes no sense to me.
Yeah,
I remember some sort of gym class in high school, Mr. Juracek tried to teach us.
Shit, did he drive a fucking Maserati around Shawnee Mission?
Yeah, hello.
South Central?
Hey, hey, bud. Mr. Juracek was a special breed of fucking awesome moron. I didn't, he was giving us a final for gym class.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is so dumb. And it's like, well, you should hope to pay attention for the stuff we learned before we would play the games. And I was like, we really shouldn't have to have a final in here. It's gym class. And he goes, yeah, well, what do you think we should do? And I go, I think we should have a dance off. And he was like, all right, we'll pick someone. We'll do it.
Done and done.
I was like, all right, well, I picked Joy Sutton. She was the only black girl in the class. And okay. So I had a pretty good feeling.
That you were going to take her?
That I was going to be able to take her. And I lost miserably, but I still didn't have to take the final.
Of course not.
So, oh, those are some pretty good moves. I'm going to have to learn that. What was that, the pencil sharpener? Yep.
Yep. How did you know? I invented that, but I called it the pencil sharpener.
Pretty good, Juracek. You know what's going
now,
on.
Now, were you the pencil and you're just kind of shimmying in place, or are you grinding? Yep. Doing the monkey grinder. That's your move? This one stays stationary the whole time? Just rocking it, guys.
It was...
You better hope it just has this, a 3-4 beat, and you can just do this the whole time. Huh? Who's with me? Huh?
There wasn't even music. That was really the exciting part.
It's even more impressive.
The other legendary Mr. Juracek tale from my life was when we were supposed to be playing tennis, and me and the guy who I was doubles partners with, neither one of us knew how to play tennis. And this dude, Greg, was a football player. He was like one of the powerlifting champs of our football team in high school, whatever it was.
Sure.
And so then it became like someone hit one over to me and I just launched it as far as I could because I wasn't going to play by the rules of this fucking ninny sport. And then Greg was like...
Coming from the cross-country runner. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Endurance, you know?
A man's sport.
Yeah.
A man's sport.
Something that
makes... You've seen... How many times have you been intimidated by a long-distance runner? Oh, it's too many to count.
Dude, let's just say the panties were wet, and it was mostly because they'd just run for 15 miles.
Doesn't matter. They're still wet.
Exactly.
That finger got blasted.
you could finger blast, but it wouldn't be a pretty sight.
Well, you want to set some records on this course? Blast them off.
Smart.
Gives them a little. It's like nitro.
Boost. You hit that boost.
You want to make them live a quarter mile at a time.
Hit the Nas button, if you will. Well, just Greg,
whisper family in their ear, and this boom.
That's my Vin Diesel. It sounds a lot like a sliced alone, but it's my Vin Diesel.
It's close.
Greg felt he could hit the tennis ball further than me, so he launched one, and it went way further than I could hit it. And I was like, you know, not too upset because this guy, you know, brain barely works.
Well, you didn't have your Douglas. Chin testicles. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Intimidate him. Clearly would indent through any shorts, any gym shorts.
I hadn't been groin roiding yet. And so Mr. Juracek eventually.
You get galvanized.
Yeah. Juracek eventually caught on that we weren't playing tennis the right way. And so he came over, started yelling at us.
How long did it take him?
I mean, we'd probably gone through 20, 25. Tennis balls launched.
Just launching them.
Launch them as hard as we could.
Exactly. As if, you know, fucking the budget for this class is enough
Limitless.
To cover, you know, 15 fucking cans.
Yeah.
At 3 balls a can. You guys just crush.
So Juracek, hey, buddy, what are you guys doing? You guys, go pick up those balls. So we don't give a fuck because we're playing tennis, for Christ's sake. So we go, we're picking up the balls. And at some point, Greg sees... some sort of a snake in the grass. And so he goes over and he holds its head down with the tennis racket.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Juracek, well, what are you guys doing? Get back over here. And he's like, we got a snake. And he's like, what? And he's like, we got a snake. And he's like, you got a what? A snake. You got a snake? What are you talking about? And he starts walking over and Greg just picks the snake up.
He's by like, the back of the head, at least?
The back of the head, yeah.
Okay.
He's like, I got a snake. I want to take it up to the environmental lab. And he was like, well, no, just let it go. And he's like, no, I want to take it to the environmental lab. Mr. Whoever might give me extra credit if I bring the snake in. And he's like, yeah, you're not doing that. Just put it down. And he just goes, okay. And he just tossed the snake at Juracek. And Eurocheck fucking flipped up. Whoa, that could be a rattlesnake.
You would kind of know, but it still could be venomous.
I mean,
he's not wrong. If someone threw a fucking snake at you, you're telling me you're just gonna stand there like a statue?
Someone throws a snake at me, I catch it, snap it in half every time.
I hope you have the same length of hair because it flopped like some middle-aged woman. You're like, that's oh, all right, Shannon. I'll get the manager.
It's the lesbian librarian look, and I'm crushing it.
I mean, that picture snake, did you justice.
Snake, pull straight, snap in two, stab with either snake side.
Oh, so then you're what? You're aligning all the its vertebrae?
That's correct.
Until it's rigid.
Yep.
So instant rigor mortis.
And once you pop it, then it becomes solid. It's like having two sides, basically. And then, you know.
You would think that would have been used in movies at some point.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people, they've never snapped a snake in half to understand how
it works. Many have, you know?
Very few of us.
How Sam Jackson didn't do that on Snakes on a Plane to fight the other snakes.
Yeah.
Turn their most powerful weapon against them. Like kill the head snake and then boom, take out the rest. I never saw the movie.
Wow, there's so many motherfucking snakes turning into size. Stab it, then take that one, break it, stab.
Seems like a lot of extra work. Did they just go instantly dull once they spear something else?
The moment you snap it in half, they just immediately sharpen themselves and become daggers. Snakes are weird. They're a weird animal.
Yeah, but I'm talking about after the stabbing. You're saying then you need to take the one that has just been killed and redo this process again.
Well, they don't stay sharp.
That's what I asked. So it just goes dull after the one spearing?
It's not dull, but you're definitely going to be able to cut easier with a fresh snake knife. This stuff, it's all scientific stuff. You can look it up on the web, probably.
I'm sure it exists. If nothing else, Tripoli has retweeted something that says that to that effect. So...
So at a minimum.
Yeah, seeing what he retweets just comes up. I won't mute him because I just want to see all of this, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What scares me is one out of, I don't know how many ever number is, so like that might be actually a sane thought. And then it goes right back to, really, you're fighting on this? Okay, well, you're not really. I understand.
Yeah. It's important to engage as many dumb people as possible. That's what the internet's all about. That's why when people say the thing that causes stupidity is the lack of information. But now that the information is there and we've gotten dumber, really makes you wonder if maybe the problem is just that humanity is full of fucking idiots.
Well, I also think it's because you can get all information, you can't absorb all information, you know? So if you find a feed that you like, you just kind of stick devoted to that feed. So
yeah,
if it reinforced early on like 2-3 things that you secretly believed, then you're going to buy into the rest of it after. You might be every once again, oh, that seems crazy. But the vast majority, you're just going to go deeper and deeper down that wormhole.
Yeah, there's an alarming number of people now who have gained all of the knowledge they have from the internet.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing to watch them then try and act intelligent when you're just like, this fucking idiot's just repeating bullshit he read online.
Well, yeah, regurgitating something they saw on TV.
I'm a Reddit genius, just so you know.
Well, we know someone we're hanging out with, so to speak, and then Ancient Aliens, they watched that and came in and told us all about Ancient Aliens and how the Egyptians, they had...
The Mayans, the Egyptians.
They had electricity before all of us.
Yeah, they had an underground electricity source that did not require wiring.
Exactly.
And it could just travel through the ground... to where they needed it to light things up.
And then you have to pepper in about 75 you knows at the end of every third to fourth word.
Yeah.
The Mayans, just South America, you know.
He was also a religious scholar. That was one of the interesting things about him.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't think I was there for
I don't think you were
ideology.
I don't understand. You know, there's so many Muslims out there, you know. It's like, why don't you just stop being Muslim, you know? We're like, an interesting argument.
Okay. That's all you're going to do? Hey, guys, you ever thought about stopping? you know, give it some thought. Mull it over. Sleep on it.
He hit me one morning. It's just me working in there. He comes in. He goes, hey, you believe in God? I go, no, I don't. well, I do. And then just, just like,
not going to be deterred.
He had a solid 20 minutes about his personal beliefs on religion. And
oh, my favorite would be in there for, you know, hours. And then he pops in and we get a race, his RC car discussion of what's going on at the track.
Yeah.
I really don't care.
You're talking about remote control car racing, bro.
Yeah, exactly. You've spent like $7,000 over the course of this past year souping that thing up. Great. I'm happy for you. It's not a hobby, man. You're just wasting money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, this other guy shows up, you know, at the track.
He's the guy who's you know, letting everyone in on the secrets of airflow into your remote control car and how to speed it up. And certainly, you're like, all right. I'm sure this is interesting to you, man, but...
I almost want the Mayan talk, to be perfectly honest, because at least in my head, I can go through, nah, that's factually incorrect.
Yeah.
And then this part, I'm pretty sure the science is going against you.
He also had a really solid take on evolution and how he doesn't think that it happened, but if it did, he saw a documentary that discussed how aliens could have procreated with monkeys, and that would be how evolution started. You know, that was the thing that switched monkeys into mankind, was that we're an alien monkey hybrid. And I just was like, cool, man.
Oh, shit, man. It's only 10 in the morning.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be here for 12 more hours.
Yeah, minimum. Minimum.
You know, that makes sense, you know?
Especially if you're rolling solo in it. We might as well say what it is. I don't know why.
We were trimming marijuana.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
Used to do it, get a random text. Hey, you free next Thursday? It's a one-day job. Show up and it's just me and you. And yeah. It's like, this is going to be a three-day job.
At least.
At least.
Yeah, just nightmarish.
But made good money.
It was like, you made good money for a while.
Yeah, and then it slipped off. It's not worth my time.
Yeah.
And certain people stop paying. You're like, okay, well, you just wasted an entire day of my life.
Yep.
All right, I'm done with this. I started warning people, hey, so-and-so doesn't pay anymore. So you may be going over there, but don't expect to get paid.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, thank you for the heads up. Not a problem.
Yeah, I had some interesting days. Whenever I did random gigs, it always made me go, you know what? I'm not going to do these anymore.
I never did them because you and Birdman had the worst horror stories.
Yeah. It was Birdman's friend. It was the Strat that really set me off and just, I don't think I can do this. And that was another time when I was like, yeah, there should be three guys plus me and whatever. I go, all right, I'll come to it. And then I got there and it was just me and everyone else didn't show up.
Or there were times where I remember me and you and third person whose job it was. Yeah, it's just me, the three of us. Meanwhile, he's on his phone for about 70% of the time, just sitting back smoking a cigarette. And you're like, dude, we have 22 of these boxes to go through. Yeah. We could really use a third man on this.
We were a solid crew.
There's nothing more defeatist, though, when you're like, oh, yeah, we can start barreling through this, and you get into it and be like, there's stuff on here, but you did not manicure this at all.
In the slightest.
So it's just you have to get through mountains of crap to get the stuff that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was also terrible when you would trim up and the team would show up and it was just a couple of fools and they would just sit there with the pile of crap on their table and take 10 times as long and you're just like, this fucking idiot.
I know. You're just slowing us down as a whole. Thankfully though, I mean the crew that did it more often than not was like you and then one other person.
Yeah.
By and large, sometimes two, just depending on how big the job was.
Yeah.
And it's just like easy peasy. Doing all the outside stuff, the one-uppers, never did any of it. Easily could have asked, hey, if he's looking for somebody.
Yeah.
But every story, so much so that I heard enough stories, and then he's coming over, and I'm going to meet him for the first time. It's like, why is anybody friends with him?
Yeah.
Like, there hasn't been one good story.
When your nickname is the one-upper, that's just a good sign that you're just a pile of shit.
Well, it explains, it distillates everything about the guy before you even meet him.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Rich, the one-upper. I told that to somebody once, and I was going in to tell him a story, and then I started to explain why we called him the one-upper, and he's just like, I get it. He's like, hey, I don't know why I felt I needed to explain
it's
it more.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
So then I told him the story, the one where he bought that super...
The rare.
Yeah, super rare. Was it a necklace?
Yeah.
And another dude had the same necklace at a concert. Yeah. He's like, oh, look, we're necklace buddies. to a random. He's walking around acting like he's all big hotshot. Like, it does. He sounded like, and I heard the story, you know, secondhand, but basically, in essence, Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights. Like, it's real imported Italian polyester.
Yeah. You're
like, okay, well, that's, why would you import a synthetic polyester?
It's awesome, is what he's saying.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So the necklace is like, you know, super exclusive, you know, it's,
always bragging about the worst concerts he was going to. Yeah. We're going to go see the Toadies, so we got to get done. You're like, the Toadies?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing Possum Kingdom, the whole album.
Presidents of the United States or what is it? Presidents of America's open for them.
Like, oh, that does sound cool. Hopefully we get done in time. You listen to Sponge at all? Yeah. That's pretty much all I listen to, actually. Yeah, because they're doing a residency at the Whiskey. Yeah, like the third Thursday of every other month.
They got the Celine Dion, you know, Caesars kind of treatment.
Yeah, it's a nice Sponge, huh? Cool.
Yeah, never envious. That was such a weird dude.
Yeah, and they knew terrible people, too.
Yeah.
It was part of that Ohio mafia. People from Ohio, I don't know if we have listeners from Ohio, you're garbage.
I've met a few that are good people.
Yeah.
I've also met some garbage humans from Ohio. I think it's a plane going to Burbank Airport.
Wow. That was impressive. For a second, I thought the subway underneath us was about ready to bust up through the floor, but you're saying it's coming from above.
You might want to get those ears checked.
Well, I felt the vibrations first. That's what concerned me. I thought big quake
you
was
you were in. Always one of the funky bunch.
Thank you. I mean, I don't know how you mean that, but thank you.
Well, you're in the back snapping rattlesnakes.
There's no...
Those ghost vibrations! Come on. Just yeah, stabbing random extras. Wahlberg loved you.
Donnie Wahlberg.
What?
Especially.
That's the best introduction you could possibly get.
That's the main reason why I can't go to Vegas. Was I did the, there used to be an unaffiliated improv at the Harrah's.
Oh, really? That wasn't affiliated?
No, it was one of the two or three that.
Franchised?
Well, they were all franchised except for these three. These three were some sort of deal that Bud had worked out years before he sold the improv company. And so he retained ownership of these three.
Oh, it's, yeah. So there's one up in Reno.
Yeah, one up in Tahoe.
Yeah.
And then there was one in Palm Springs.
Okay.
That's seasonal or something. That's the one I did where CCR and Kenny Loggins were playing at the same time at the Giant Theater next door to the conference room where the comedy club was.
Perfect.
You're
going to draw the best.
Yeah, it was terrible, but the one in Vegas, I did it. It was the last time I did shows in Vegas, I think. It was six nights, two shows a night. The most that we ever had at a single show was probably 15 to 20 people.
Wow.
I was emceeing, and they just had these like two hacky, old, like our parents' age comics headlining and featuring. They're doing like
just ridiculous of
the feature. The only part I remember is I can't even remember what his fucking name was, but he's like, yeah. So every time I come into Vegas, you know, I like to find a lady and give a little of that hee-haw. You know what I'm talking about? Some of that punching and making horn noises.
Please tell me that was his opener.
It was pretty close to his opener.
People love the 15 people. Shitting themselves. this guy gets it.
We thought he was going to say fuck it, but it was actually what he was actually literally doing anyway. But my room faced whatever the hotel was to the south
of Harrah's.
I want to say
it's been like 9 years since I've been to Vegas.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it was.
I hate Vegas.
I do too.
It's the worst. It is the absolute worst. I like going for summer league. Like, I just drive there. I see, like, six games in a day, and then I drive home. It's, like, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be way better.
Yeah. I don't actually go to Vegas. I just go to the Thomas and Mack Center and just do that and then get the fuck out.
Leave.
Yeah.
The the thing that was in between the two casinos is like there's that little outdoor venue. You have to walk by it as you're heading down the strip.
Is that where the shooter took out people at that country concert?
No, it's not that far down because okay. Mandalay is all the way at the end.
Oh, that's where that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was shooting from the Mandalay. This was, it's like right in the middle of the fucking strip. And there's like this little thing. They basically have like cover bands playing inside it as you walk through during the day.
Yeah, the depressing sadness of Vegas.
Yeah. And so
going into Denny's and seeing slot machines.
You know, right.
Wow, this place is already trash. And somehow you made it trashier.
They did it.
Yeah.
My window, I think my room was fourth floor, and it looked out directly onto that little
cover band. That's not bad people watching.
Concert venue.
That's if I got
in between when there weren't bands playing, they just had music blasting at all times.
It's Vegas, yeah.
And there was four, maybe, I think it was four songs on repeat.
Oh, fuck that.
And that's all it does. That's all it played.
All day long?
Yeah. All day, and it went until about midnight, and at midnight it stopped, and then it started back up at 8 a.m.
Wow. And it's like anybody needs that. Who's on the strip in Vegas at 8 a.m.?
No idea. Well, I was on the strip because every morning at 8 a.m. I heard, good vibrations. Doom, 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 doom.
Just snake stabbing to wake up.
Grab a snake.
Yeah.
Just start stabbing.
Dude, that's a great way to start your day. It's not bad. You get that adrenaline going because, A, there's snakes all over your place. Yep. But they know to fear you.
They sense that there is no fear, and they keep their distance. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to walk over to a king cobra trying to hide underneath the bed and just snap it, stab, stab, stab. Call room service, get them come in, right into the throat.
I'm amazed they keep sending people.
they don't know
hotel
what happened
policy.
To them.
I mean, really, they can't piece together? They have snake parts in them. They keep having it, the same room.
I keep calling down and going, no one ever showed up.
What, did the other snakes eat the body?
I'm stacking the bodies in the bathroom. And then, right when you get ready to leave, you have the boa constrictor swallow each of them, and then you just carry the boa constrictor out in a headlock, toss them into the bus, end of story.
How many bodies did we stack?
14, 15.
In 6 days?
Yeah.
It's a lot of room service. Yeah. A lot of room service. You were loving those four tunes.
I just can't get enough. When I hear good vibrations.
Wow, it's amazing there are that many snakes. If you're just breaking, snapping, and stabbing every fourth song.
I probably had.
Like baby ones eventually.
700-800 snakes in my room at all times when I'm in Vegas. That's a rule. I don't roll into Vegas without snakes, period. Yeah, Marky Mark, and then, God, I wish I could remember what the other songs were.
The fact of the matter is, even if I liked the songs, I would hate them after one day's time.
Oh, I was going nuts. And then I
gotta leave your room.
Yeah, I was leaving. I eventually, like 3 days, the last 3 days I was there, I went out hiking every day.
Yeah,
just go
get away
quiet, from fucking.
Just get the fuck out.
Vegas.
That's what I hate about Vegas. Like, after 36 hours, I'm like, I need a bath. Like, I need a shower.
Yeah.
And I need to get the fuck out of here because it's just depressing. It's just enveloped in depressing. The last time I went, it was me and Funston and Pete. And end of the night, like, I don't smoke anymore, so I'm around people smoking all day. And I don't drink anymore. I'm around people drinking all day, which is fine. But I chew more gum, at least at that time, as like a coping mechanism to
oral fixation.
Yeah. Just to, while we're sitting there, we were playing blackjack or something. Pete was just like, hey, I'm chewing a lot of gum there. I was like, well, I didn't smoke a pack and a half of cigarettes in the past 6 hours, and yeah. I didn't have 15 cocktails.
Yeah.
And this is me just being like, if I got to be in this environment, this is the only stimulus. I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Yeah, but even if I still did those things, I don't think I could take it. I've been enough times. I get it.
Yeah, it was kind of fun a couple times. And most of the times, I'm just like, I don't like being anywhere where it's just that crowded.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, I just don't want to be around people.
Well, it's just constantly lights flashing, sounds like, you know, buzzers and bells and, like, I like
prostitute card clicking. Hey, 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 hey. I don't want your card, bro.
I forgot about that.
Girls.
I thought you were saying like the prostitutes, like you're at the bar, just I got to move upstairs.
No, the
trolling.
The 4'6"
Yeah, handing out 230-pound
Mexicans hanging out the call girl cards outside. Are you whistling at me, dude? What the fuck was that? Now, from what I understand, there's a terrible homeless problem in Vegas now, just like there is in LA.
Yeah.
And it's just really disgusting. They, I think, just recently changed the law, so now they're not allowed to sit on the strip. But as of like
makes sense.
The end of December, they were I think it started in January, but people were just complaining because there's basically hundreds of homeless people just crowding the sidewalks, begging people for money.
Well, I assume don't sit on the streets, fine. So at night, every side street is just a tent city.
Gotta be.
Going straight down. And in the summer, can you imagine the fucking smell?
It's gonna smell great. Walking?
Well, it's that dry heat, you know? The humidity makes it extra worse.
Yeah. Well, for me, I've always said if I'm smelling homeless people, I want to do it in the desert.
But so the scariest
third
individual.
T-shirt right there. If I'm smelling homeless people, I do it in the desert. And it's a picture of you in a cowboy hat.
I see that more as a bumper sticker.
That's a great call.
And it just says Las Vegas, Nevada, right at the bottom.
Maybe a beer koozie. Pick
that
up.
Sure. That works as well. The creepiest person I've ever seen in my life was in Vegas. Standing at one of those the escalators that goes up and then takes you to the bridge that crosses over the pedestrian walkway.
Yeah, yeah.
Just sitting at one of the inlets.
Heading over to the Excalibur.
Yeah, some along those lines. I think we were staying at the Luxor.
Yeah.
So we're down not too far from there.
Yeah.
The Luxor is just a dump. Just a fucking dump.
It's a pyramid. It's classy as fuck.
I've stayed at Circus. The first time I went to Vegas when I was 19, I went to see a concert.
Fish concert. You can say it, bro.
That's
fine. You went to see the spread, dude, and you know it, dude.
Bro. So I've stayed at Circus. I've stayed at the Riviera. I've stayed at the Luxor. I've stayed at New York.
Is Riviera still there?
I don't know. Last time I was there, yes, I want to say. I stayed at the Aladdin. I've stayed.
Wow. You hit up all the worst ones.
I stayed at the Aladdin after they did their how many ever hundreds of millions or whatever, the complete refurbishment. So it was the brand.
Sure.
Reopening, whatever. It was fine.
Okay.
But I've never stayed MGM, Bellagio, Mandalay Bay, Aria.
I stayed in Mandalay once. It was pretty nice. Yeah. I was performing with Dice, so I got like a suite.
Yeah,
nice. It was a nice suite, big room. Had like a separate living room and shit where I was like, this is the fucking shit.
Yeah, you get those early tastes.
Yeah.
And I went and did a casino gig out on the East Coast and the closest airport was 45 minutes away and they sent a limo. Show up. My room was bigger than my apartment.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the shit. And then a theater that holds 600, 800, I don't know, like maybe 12 people showed up.
That's always nice,
oh, too. Dude, it was brutal. And got heckled and the guy wasn't wrong because it wasn't going well. I was like 3 years into comedy. No business doing this.
Full pro.
Yeah, full pro. Yeah, not to that audience. Anyway.
I remember I go at Mandalay and they have like a, I don't even know what the job title would be, but he's a guy who's there to make sure that, to accommodate the talent.
Yeah, a wrangler kind of thing. Yeah.
And so, you know, he would come to my room and go, we're heading down to the showroom now. And, okay. And then he would take me through because there's like a maze.
The labyrinth.
Yeah.
It's Spinal Tap on steroids.
Full on.
And, because it's mini city underneath.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going through the kitchen and stuff. And then we ended up walking out a door and we were just out the back of the building. And he's like, this is not the way we wanted to go. I'm like, cool, man. It was full on Spinal Tap.
The blind leading the blind. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's this way.
Just follow me. It should be right around the corner. There's a lot of it should be's where I'm like, and I was with Dice, and Dice is like, who is this guy? Is he even work for the casino? But the first night we were there, he was like, the guy was taking me down to the show the first night, and he's like, did you hit up the pool at all? And I go, we just got here. So I didn't really want to go swimming before the show, per se.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got a European pool. I go, what does that mean? Topless. I go, really? He's like, yeah, yeah, there's a family pool, an adults only pool, and then we got a European style pool where it's, you know, everyone's allowed to be not full nude, but topless. I'm like, oh, that's cool, I guess. And then the guy's like, yeah, let me know if you want to go tomorrow. I'm like, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm free after 10. I got a meeting in the morning, but I usually like to hang out there for, you know, my 4-hour lunch.
Yeah, I was like, cool, man.
So you should really wear loose shorts.
Hey, if you can put your finger on it, you can blast it.
Well, I think that's too advanced a phrase for him.
Well, I was curious enough the next day. I'm like, well, I got to go down and see what this is. So I go down there.
17 dudes, one woman old.
Yeah. I was 23, I think. And I'm thinking, you know, go down, meet some topless babes. This is probably going to be.
In no way do I think that this was your thought process, but go ahead, continue.
I get down there. It's probably 1 in the afternoon. It's got to be about 40 to 60 schlubby dudes.
Of course.
And then about 10 prostitutes. I mean, they had to be prostitutes. There's no other explanation.
Yeah, okay.
And they're, each of them is just working some schlubby dude. I lasted about, I want to say, a minute and a half. And I'm just like, all right, I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
This is not what was promised by Terry the Wrangler. It's great, man. Lots of young babes. That's
no, of course he's got to sell it like that. It's never going to be that.
Okay, man.
I accidentally showed up to a whorehouse once. So I was in Nashville, and I was crashing at my grandma's place, but everybody else was staying.
This is how every accidentally went to a whorehouse
exactly.
story starts.
Exactly. But my parents were staying at the Opry. There used to be an amusement park called Opryland, and they tore it down, but the music venue, you know, the Grand Ole Opry is still there. Not the original one, but the one where it's been for the past, yeah. I don't know how many decades. And then there's a hotel attached and all that, and it's nice. So they were staying there. So I went there. We hung out and had dinner and had a bunch of drinks, and I was drunk driving back to my grandma's place. But it's pretty easy to get to, but I was pretty drunk.
For the record, drunk driving is not a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
All right, go on.
This was, I think, 3 years before I got my DUI.
Nice.
Did a lot of drunk driving.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it's not bad. I didn't kill anybody.
Dude, with that kind of record, you should just tour with the spread, bro.
So I was leaving, and I was like, I don't know where I am. So I pull off, and the only place that has like any kind of lighting off, you know, off the interstate, it's kind of like driving down the 101, right? It's you're in the middle of the city, but you are on an interstate.
Yeah.
So it's akin to that. So I just gone through downtown, heading I think it's east, and just didn't know. I was like, ah, fuck, I think I'm lost. So I pull off. It's the only thing with the light on, and I go up to it, and there's a door with like a security fence, and you have to ring a bell. It's like, this is fucking strange, but there's just camera right there, but I'm drunk as shit. I don't really think. I'm just like, I need directions.
Yeah.
And I walk in, and five women walk out in just lingerie, and that was do the hi. And in my head, they were all tens.
Yeah.
In my recollection of that moment,
Babe
all
City.
Tens. Exactly.
And they're like, you wouldn't want a freebie, would you? Good looking. Yeah, yeah. You're like, what?
Which we know somebody that came back from a country that's, you know, legal prostitution. No, dude, she was into me. Okay.
Yeah, didn't even charge me because.
Yeah, she just wanted to hang out and
fuck. She said she never had sex that great before.
So anyway. And I was like, oh, so I pieced together pretty quick what's going on here.
Yeah.
And then I. Whatever.
Did one of them give you directions?
So the one lady was basically the madam, so to speak.
Sure.
And she was like, you know, put her arm around me and was like, oh, just trying to walk me in towards the bar.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm not fighting. There's little resistance. And I'm just kind of like, so what's going on here?
I'm going back to grandma's house or I'm yeah. fucking hookers.
So eventually we get into like, oh, so what's it cost to hang out around here? And she's like, well, the minimum is X, Y, Z. And I opened my wallet and I think I had like $11 at a shoulder. And I was like, you got an ATM?
Yeah.
Can you help me out here?
Can I finger blast for $11?
Yeah. I can put my finger on a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
Do you guys have the same finger blasting policy that I have? This is a whorehouse in Nashville,
in
Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee, that I just happened to find, and I couldn't find for the life of me again.
Was it at least called like Southern Comfort or something?
No, there was no signage. There was no.
You happened to walk upon a top secret
security, I literally I have no idea where I am. This is the only place with a light on. I'm going here because I'm utterly lost. And I couldn't find it again if my life depended on me on it, because I tried like a year later and I was sober. And I was like, pretty sure I was in this area. Never saw it. I remember what the house looked like.
You were trying to find it again because you were looking for directions?
Yeah. Well, specifically, directions on where to place my fingers.
That's smart.
That's the easiest route
they can teach you.
The Waze app to get my fingers on certain areas that need to be blasted. Did not find.
That makes a lot of sense.
No, when I told her, I was like, well, if you don't have an ATM, then I need directions. I'm trying to get to here. And she just laughed and she was like, oh, you need to. I don't remember what the directions were, but I eventually got back to my grandma's and just crashed on the couch drunk as shit.
Grandma's like, how was last night? And you're like, well, I met a wonderfully kind madam who did not have an ATM machine.
Let me tell you what I love about visiting you, Grandma, who, by the way, is coming into town in a couple of days. She'll never hear this story, so who cares?
No. Grandma, one thing I always enjoyed about your town is the amount of illegal blasting going on.
Are you talking about downtown? Because there's a lot of construction that goes on.
That's not what I'm talking about, Grandma. What I'm talking about is those fours that I thought were tens getting blasted.
Honestly, in my head, too, the drunken recollection, it was every ethnicity. It was like just this
one
perfect.
Of each.
Yeah, just fanning out to like, hi.
Hot blonde chick, hot brunette, hot redhead,
hot
black
chick, hot Asian chick,
hot Hispanic girl.
Hot Latino.
What are you all doing here?
Hot, I don't know exactly what country you're from. This is amazing.
Yeah, hot et cetera, et cetera. Chick is always key.
Fucking just one of those. I don't have stories like
was
that.
Was Kid
anymore.
Rock or anyone there?
No. I have no Santa.
Damn.
Who was hanging out.
That sucks.
Yeah. All my stories suck now because I don't drink anymore. So I don't get into situations where that can happen.
I'm the same way. When someone was like, what's the coolest comedy store stories you have? And dawned on me like every single one of them is like 12 years old because I haven't had a drink in 9 years. And
the only time you get into situations where something really ridiculous and fun happens.
Yeah, at the comedy stores, I would be there until 2 because that's where I was drinking. Yeah. So, but now it's just like I show up, I perform, I try and leave as quickly as possible. It's rare that I see like someone that I'm good enough friends with that I'm going to hang out and talk for extended time. Like usually, maybe I'll talk for a half hour tops with a couple people, but some nights I'm just like, I don't even know who the fuck these people are. I know like 3 doormen's name out of the 45 doormen.
Well, it's turned into a business.
Yeah, I mean, it is a full.
It is.
It's no longer the
insane asylum that it was.
So much fun.
I know, but at the same time
it's great for comedy.
Yeah, for its designed intent and purpose.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it always should have been.
Yeah, no doubt.
Just fucking mired in.
And it works out that I don't drink anymore because I don't need it to be that place, I suppose.
What also made that place livable?
Yeah.
Because if you were just existing in it sober the whole time, it's depressing, especially that time.
Yeah, I wouldn't have lasted.
Yeah. It's too much. So you got to be able to basically have something dull the pain and make this fun. Yeah, all my best stories. Or it's once I stopped drinking, it was basically just hanging around drunks until 2 in the morning.
Right.
They get into some shit. And it doesn't bother me. I never, like when I quit drinking, it was one of those of, I can't be around other drinkers. I still bartended the whole time.
Yeah, I remember you driving me back to the condo a couple times when I was down there. So you're like, I'll drive if you want. Because the person I was with was out fucking.
Oh, my favorite was, probably shouldn't say the story. I'm not sure the statute of limitations are up. But someone we know very well.
Okay.
And may or may not have a specific day of the week, or weekend rather, a part of a persona, in essence, that other people ascribe to.
I know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Mr. Saturday Night Special.
So, blitzed.
Yeah.
Just fucking blitzed. And it's him and Danish and O'Neill, right?
Yeah.
And we're over at the brew house, and they're getting ready to leave, and I look over at Danish, and I'm like, dude, I live like a tenth of a mile from the condo. You want to ride? Because he is in no position to drive. And Danish, both him and O'Neill were like, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like, we'll make it back fine. And then driving back to the condo. So they just put in those roundabouts on the way back, and he didn't know about it.
I recall.
So he drives over one.
Yeah.
And then they get to the condo itself, and he runs into the car that's parked in the space next to him and then proceeds to just park on the street the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And then shows back up, and Dean confronts him like, Bro.
Dude, what happened?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I parked on the street the whole weekend.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And to sell his tale, his wife also had the same automobile that he did. So he was able to drive.
Oh, that to the store?
He was able to drive that car to the store and show that there was no damage to his car without anyone knowing.
I didn't know that. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Who buys two of the same car?
That was the deal he got. It was dirt cheap. If he bought two of them, the second one was like half the cost or something.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I think they were Kias or something. So Kia was just trying to sell Kias.
Yeah, it was like they're not quite an SUV.
Yeah, Kia Sportage.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I just remember seeing Danish and O'Neill because I think they both got in the back seat.
Yeah. It's probably smart.
I mean, I would love to have been behind him and see him drive over the roundabout.
It would have been beautiful.
Oh, my God, because I think at that time, too, they were just constructed, but there was no shrubbery or anything between the middle. So just plowing through dirt. And
I remember asking, like, well, didn't he hit the – there's, like, high-raised concrete at this point, like a flower bed.
Yeah.
Like, well, none of that was there then. It was just bricks and a
curb. Yeah, it was like a slight lip.
Yeah.
But it was nothing. But enough to wear.
Your car's going to go.
Yeah. Twice.
Yeah.
Once over, you know, one side and once over the other.
The second time had to be, we're doing this again.
Well, he may have on Saturday night because that was Friday.
Yeah.
So, although I think usually his, and what most people do is like, I'm driving home.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting out of here. And that, you know, that's what I always did once I moved up here. It's just like, I'm leaving after the second show on Saturday.
Yeah.
Hang out maybe for a little bit at the brew house to see some people.
When I drank, I'd always stay until usually leave around noon on Sunday.
Yeah.
But in my sober years, I've never.
There's no point.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm just going to drive back now, avoid all the traffic tomorrow. And
get home in 100 minutes.
Yeah.
And be sleeping in my own bed by getting home at a time that I'm normally kind of getting home.
Get home at 2:30 or 3, but.
At the worst.
Yeah. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. That's if you decide to hang out after the show.
Right, which I don't.
I'd just be like, all right, guys.
I'm not good at talking to people.
Well, it's just you've done it. Like enough times to where it's like, hey, we're going to hang out and whatever. It's not really worth it at this point. Although you're an animal. You drive back up after Friday.
I have been doing that in recent years.
Yeah, I'll take the one night. That's fine.
Yeah, to me, it's all about comfort, and you know, I don't get to pick who I go down there with. Mm. So it's like I don't want to hang out in a condo. I'm too old and sober to be hanging out in a condo with people I don't really know or like. So it's just like whatever, you guys do it. I know you're gonna drink and smoke and have fun and do all the stuff that I've done for decades.
Exactly, you're gonna use this place for what it was meant for.
Yeah,
have a good time,
but
make sure you break something.
Yeah. Well, and I remember I went with one of the door guys. I think he still works at the one in L.A., but it was his first time down there, and he pulls chicks pretty easily in L.A.
And, who is it?
Abby.
Okay, Roberge.
Roberge, yeah. And so I went down there with him, and Friday night, you know, I was like, I basically said I might stay, I might go, I don't know. I'll just play it by air, see how I feel. But he was pulling chicks so easily down in La Jolla. He was like, hey, do you care if I bring these girls back? I go, I'm going to drive back, man. You do whatever you want.
Have fun.
Are you sure? No, I'm not going to stick around. You know, it's weird. I got some stuff I have to do tomorrow morning, so just be easy to go get it done now. And he's like, I don't want to make it. I honestly don't care. You're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't do this. I'm not going to say
everybody.
I had to leave because Abby's.
Exactly. That's not the case. Because I've been there when somebody's having sex in the other room.
Yeah.
Just like it's weird, but at the same time, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. But I was also younger and I was drinking with somebody else. It was me. And I don't think I've ever been there where it's me and one other person. That other person had somebody over.
Right.
It's always been me and somebody else. And then the third person is having sex with somebody.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, why don't we hang out here? We can just go outside and go drink on the deck or do some other bullshit. Like, get the fuck out of here.
I remember one of the last times I ever drank. It might be, and that might honestly be the last time I was drunk, because it was right before I ended up in the hospital and found out I was diabetic. Mm-hmm. I went down there with Steve and Tony Hinchcliffe, and
go ahead.
And Steve, my diabetes was already so bad, but still undiagnosed, that Steve had to stop like four times on the drive down there so I could just get out and piss on the side of the road. Because I had to pee so bad. It's just like one of the main signs of diabetes that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, you're like my grandma. And I'm like, dude, there's no way your grandma has to pee this much. And he was like, that's probably true. But we get down there, and Tony's there, and some of Tony's friends are there.
High school friends.
Right? Yeah, high school friends from Youngstown. And one of the nights, Tony meets some girl. She's pretty large.
I was about to say, what? By my understanding of the story, she's like a San Diego 4.
She's like a San Diego 2.
Okay.
And she might be Andre the Giant's daughter. She's just like this enormous, like, she was chubby and she was just huge.
Well, it's like when I think she was, says, you ever wondered what an offensive lineman, like an NFL offensive lineman's daughter looks like?
Yeah, you're looking at.
Yeah, she just stops the sentence there, and you're like, right here. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, she was, I think she worked there. I really don't know. But they all knew her.
Yeah, 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 I know what you're talking about. She hooked up with a few comics.
Yeah, so she comes back, and then it's just like this, his buddies are all like, is he going to hook up with her? Like, I don't know. He was saying he gets hot chicks. And we're like, yeah, you know, it's not always the case. Sometimes you settle for that. But because we were dicks, Steve still kept the headliner room.
Oh, you kept your bed?
I still kept the feature bed. And then he and this large gal shared the twin bed that was in the room, too. And it was an interesting, like, I woke up in the morning, I looked over, I was just like, yeah, he went for it.
You kind of have to.
Just like, you were pot
committed. Yeah, you were pot committed at that point. So you do what you got to do.
Legendary.
Oh, man. I remember we were like taking out the old couches from that place when they were the wicker ones.
Yeah,
we got rid of those.
Yeah.
And tearing out the carpet and all that stuff. And there was the sliding glass door that goes out. And anybody, you can look it up probably on Google Maps or something. So where the pier is in Pacific Beach, where it's got the hotel that goes out.
Yeah.
The condos.
Crystal Pier?
Yeah, Crystal Pier. Condos not far from right there.
Yeah.
And you can see Crystal Pier. It's, 100 yards away. And so there's that concrete walkway out in front of, and we just took the wicker couches and we threw them out the window because we're like, then we'll go down and get them because it'd be impossible to take them through.
Right.
The actual interior. Yeah. It's just like, we're not professional movers. We're not doing that. So we threw it and we managed to make it. We cleared those bushes and the little hedge, and it landed on the grass, and we're all drunk and like high fiving. And we go back in, we go to get the cushions, and the couch is gone. We're like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden we see this homeless guy run up from the beach and just screams like, you guys got the cushions? And we're like, hell yeah. We start flinging those like frisbees. He's like, you want a love seat? Yeah, we'll take a love seat. And we just threw the head over and started throwing all the furniture. It was great.
Dude, you just
scurried up like cockroaches, grabbed it, took it down to the beach with
you
them.
You just furnished their homeless.
Yeah, dude. I moved in under the pier there and just living life high on the hog.
Ding, 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 ding. It was like a homeless version of Friends, I bet, at that point. Just lounging and...
There was somebody that hooked up with a girl there. And he asked me about it. He's like, would you ever sleep with so-and-so? And I can tell you who it is off the air. And it's unfortunate for the listeners, but I don't want to say who it is.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no.
Yeah.
No. It's a certain person that said that looks like they've gotten a lot of bee stings. I won't say the celebrity you likened them to.
Yeah.
Because that might narrow it down a little bit too much. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Even at my drunkest, I don't think so. But I've hooked up with some, whatever. And I've also, I'm sure, been the same thing for other girls where they woke up and they're like,
sure.
It happens. It's
when you were fat Matt.
Yeah. When I was fat Matt and fat drunk Matt. And,
yeah.
It went both ways at that time in my life. And he could see the look on my face, and he's like, well, I mean, neither would I. But, I mean, it came close. I'm like, oh, okay. How close did it come? He's like, well, you know, we were naked in the shower together. And I was like, seems like this came pretty close. I mean, you know, we were doing stuff. He had put his finger on it.
Yeah, he
was blasting away, and he's like, yeah, but then I just felt bad, and I put my clothes on, and I left.
How close did it come? My wiener inside coming.
Yeah. I eventually came, but I felt shame the whole time. Just the story kept, he just couldn't lie to my face. And just, I mean, you know, nothing happened, but okay, nothing happened. We were naked in the shower. Okay.
Yeah. That was at the condo?
That was at the condo. That was in the, not the headliner bathroom.
Yeah, the guest one.
Yeah.
The stand in.
It's a nicer shower.
For stand and fucking, I guess, yeah.
It's a better.
I mean, it's pretty gross.
It was all gross.
Yeah.
It's way better now. But at that point, like the mildew would replace the grout, and that's what was holding that shower together.
Which was nice. It was like showering in a jungle moss.
Yeah, it gave you an earthy feel. You know, you felt extra clean, like there was filtration on top of the filtration.
You had to put trash bags over your shower flip-flops just to protect your shower flip-flops from melting.
Early coronavirus.
Yeah.
It was gestating on the ground.
It might have been where it started.
Could have been.
Frightening.
Yeah, that condo, man. I can't believe it just sat like that for so long.
Two, 3 decades.
It was a reflection of the store in and of itself. The store didn't change for decades.
Yeah, it's true. It was like, what's the point? No one's really complaining. No one respects this place in any way.
And black duct tape. And once you turn the lights off, you can't see it.
Yeah.
Walls duct taped. Like a big seam in the wall from a crack, earthquake way back when. We just put black duct tape over
that. This is a pretty easy fix.
The fucking carpet is torn up, and these huge, long, just black duct tape over that. Urinals that easily, if you wanted to, you just pull them out like 6-8 inches from the wall and just push it right back in.
Yep.
Like, this place is something else. I can't believe it's even standing at this point.
Are there codes?
Not anymore.
Is there any codes?
Yakov comes out of nowhere. Code.
What you need, huh?
In the Russia, code is you.
In Soviet Russia, urinal pulls you out. What? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but why would it be the inverse in the States? Why would you pull the urinal out? I don't. Yakov, you gotta fix this, man.
You want Rolls Royce? I guess.
You think he tried to get anybody to go in his stead? He couldn't go anymore, and he wanted to keep the business alive, so he's going to send fucking Ollie Joe. I'll buy you two seats. Yeah. Just fly over.
Yeah, I'll do it. I ain't happy about it, but I'll do it.
I can't imagine you made enough money. I mean, obviously he did.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, unless he's getting a Rolls for, I don't know what, with inflation, but let's say 10 grand, and he could sell it for like 40 here.
Yeah.
Because you still have to ship it. You
got to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, exactly. You got to pay a tariff. Then you got to more than likely take it to a mechanic and get it. Like, I'm sure you searched out and found the best you could, but there's still work that needs to be done. And reupholster or replace, you know, missing parts, missing this. To turn around and still make enough money.
We should get him on the pod and just talk about it. Also, it would be fun to hear about blasting in Soviet Russia. You know,
hey, ask him, you know what? I'd love to hear old Yakov stories. If he genuinely told, like, one time I walked in on.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, dude, I could listen to this all day. Keep going.
Yeah.
So Tim Thomerson, what was he doing?
Thomerson is doing a Sam Peckinpah if he were doing Stagecoach inside vagina.
I heard that he used to sleep with guys' girlfriends or wives.
Thomerson?
Yeah, like a la Tony Parker has a problem with not sleeping with other dudes' ladies.
That's a Tony Parker thing?
Oh, yeah. That sold a decent amount of discord on their team in their championship years.
So Tony Parker was out there boning the women of teammates.
One specifically, I want to say it was one of the Barry kids.
Okay.
Maybe. I'd have to look it up. But he definitely slept with one of his teammates' wives.
Smooth.
100%. And then that teammate was no longer on the team, and Tony Parker stayed. So,
they made the right choice there.
They did.
And also, he's a Frenchman, so you got to expect that.
Comes with the territory.
Yeah, it really
does. One of the few Frenchmen, you know, him, Rudy Gobert.
Sure.
It's a you know, shallow pool of candidates to choose from.
Who is the redheaded mixed race guy that fucked LeBron's mom? allegedly.
Oh, that ended up out on the street?
Yeah, that video I saw it a couple weeks ago of him yelling.
Why am I forgetting his name? Yeah.
Delonte
West.
Yeah.
Supposedly slept with LeBron's mom, and that was one of the motivating factors of his leaving Cleveland the first time.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy.
Yeah.
But honestly, where we see him all these years later, it's like, well, you know, not exactly like this guy maybe thought long term.
No. And women do love
that crazy D.
Crazy D. Another great t-shirt right there. Women love Crazy D.
See, I was thinking it'd be like maybe the opener for the Stonewall Jackson 5 is Crazy D. It's like a Heavy D kind of ripoff where they're doing the racists.
Well,
I apologize. The South will rise again.
Thank
type
you.
Type of mentality.
Yeah. It's, I don't want to call it racist because, you know, what is that term even mean?
You know, this is nice. You're going to have these interviews in 3, 4, or 5 years. So this is good prep time. So go ahead. Let's work on your PR statement that you're going to have to trot out there week in, week out. It's like a talking point with politicians.
We don't consider the songs racist because we don't see race.
how about I help
you
out?
We're just humans.
And I'll be the interviewer. So it seems like a large portion of this country has a problem with the message, the underlying message that your group seems to be putting out there. Do you have any thoughts? What do you say about that?
I think we know exactly what kind of people you're talking about. Wink.
Unfortunately for our viewers, they could see the wink. I don't know why you needed it in an ad, the sound effect, and then describing what it is.
I can't wink without saying wink.
So any, though, discussion of the content of the songs, the back to that, you know, the issue.
We are all people. That's our stance. And some are more valuable than others, and we choose to celebrate that.
And who determines the valuation of other humans? We're all equal, are we not?
In a sense, yes.
That's not really an answer.
In another sense, are we?
See, now that seems like the actual answer. What does that mean?
The Stonewall Jackson 5, they're a band that focuses on love of one's white pride. And I think the thing that people need to realize...
Can I coach you there? On the and? End on up to and? Just like a point is not finished. Let's cement the first part.
Yep.
And? Okay, continue.
That's all I really got for now.
You really need to come up with some sort of corroborative to that. It's not about white nationalism, but it's actually just about white nationalism. So that's...
Is it wrong to say we live in the greatest country in the world and some of the people in that country are what makes it great? Is that a problem?
No. It's really just the, what is the definition of some of those people? What is, you know?
I couldn't agree more. Case dismissed, Your Honor.
Right back to that. World's greatest lawyer right there. Oh, fuck. I love it. Sitting for this long and eventually my back is like, you need to stretch.
Just stretch.
I can do it sometimes where I'll do that and you could hear like 2-3 vertebrae.
Good pops.
Just a good pop. Like, did it. And like, oh, wow.
You need Richie really? Taylor here at all times just to pop that back.
I haven't had somebody pop my back in so long. Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I was ballparking my head. I was like, it seems like we're, I think it's good there.
Yeah.
Great discussion.
Hot hate. Finger blasting.
Putting fingers on those hearts and minds out there.
And pusses.
The nice thing is, in my camera, that stops almost over my nipple. So just blast away. Blast it. Woo! Snapping snakes, baby.
Fish hook it, and then...
And now, is that the blood squirting out, or is that just the sound effect that you make?
That's the double sound effect of the dying snake getting its last breaths out as you impale people with the snake bone.
So is the second, the end half, just a fart?
That's exactly right. Or a queef. We don't choose what kind of animal's gender we stab with.
Unlike the Stonewall Jackson 5, there is no inherent hatred here. All snakes are equal. That's beautiful.
Yeah, the way I see snakes, gender fluid, bro, you know? Wow. Any bathroom.
I'm snake blind. You know, they're all the same to me. They're all ready-made weapons.
By the way, check out Snake Blind opening for the fucking spread, bro!
Where can people find you?
Comedy Store Podcast. I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I need about 95,000 more followers, and I'll be right where I need to be.
Perfect. Let's boost those numbers.
Yep.
Find him at Rick Ingram. Find me at Matt Nost. Check out the top 10. Check out Dropping Dimes here on Collider. London, we're coming May 2nd. You pick up the tickets, kingsplace.co.uk. Get
who's
there.
We?
The top 10, me and my co-host there, John.
I will be in LeBaron, Louisiana, snapping snakes and just teaching the ways of the Southern martial arts.
A certain subsect? Seagal been down in the bayou all this time teaching a new hybrid?
Are you telling me that Casey Ryback is in the bayou?
You would think he would go, he'd be snapping gators, you know? Now he's got two halves of gators. He takes it up a notch.
Well, now in Florida, you know, they got that python problem. Yeah. So they've been begging me to come down there. But the problem is, you snap a python that big, I mean, you got a couple of serious javelins there. You know, jousting.
How is that
javelins.
A problem? You just created a solution. And let, you know, to play us out to hear that solution, here's the Stonewall Jackson 5.
We are the best race all around.
Wow, I didn't expect that. That seems more, you know, early Motown to me.
It's the Stonewall Jackson 5, obviously.
That's true.
There's Motown roots.
That's the influence. That's how you make these catchy numbers.
Yeah. That's exactly. Grand Wizard, you are the magic man.
I don't even know what song that was supposed to be.
It's an original hit.
Yeah, but I thought there was going to be Motown influence.
No. Nope.
So here's something from a great Motown artist.
Our music is completely original.
Grand Wizard! Oh, man. I mean, I kind of want to put for the description Stonewall Jackson 5, but pretty sure that's going to raise some red flags somewhere. Oh, man.
It's going to get us a lot of viewers that we need.
Oh, yeah. We're going to end up on some CIA blacklist because we attract only the best.
Yep.
With a title like that.
Yep. Four more years. Say it with me.
Shit, fuck that. A decade, if not easy. More. All right. That's it for Praise the Hate this week. We'll see you guys next week.